Before you listen, I want to add a trigger warning. I use vibrant language. I mention sexual behaviors of my peers when I was younger, and I repeat a comment made to my son from one of his peers about suicide. If this is feeling too close to home or feels like something that could ruin your day at work, protect your mindset and your well-being by skipping this episode. Hello, this is the Moms Are Not All Right podcast. Thank you for being here. I'm a mom sitting in her bedroom talking into her phone when the kids go to sleep about things that are swirling around in my head all day that I want to get out of my head, and hopefully by doing that publicly, someone else can hear it and maybe not feel like they are the only ones who think these things too. This week, I want to talk about something heavy on my heart, and that is middle school and teenagers and bullying. I'll share my experiences and thoughts about this past school year, some tactics my son has tried and the outcomes of those tactics, and a method I told my son to use to fight against bullying that he shut down right away. But before I talk about that, I wanted to read a message I got about last week's episode on friendship. If you haven't listened, you can go check that out. And this is from a message from Jackie. She said something that really got my wheels turning, and I figured others might feel what she is feeling, so I wanted to share. So, quote, "I found the friendship episode super insightful. I never thought about lack of time business as a reason why someone may not be my friend. I always seem to take it personally, like what's wrong with me that they don't have time for me. So it was nice to think maybe it wasn't always me, but more timing just didn't work out. Towards the end of the episode, you said we have to just put ourselves out there and exchange numbers, say hi, make a move. I think that's what a lot of moms need to hear, but also be receptive of. Especially, it's not something common that's happening, so it may throw them off." That's the end of the quote. So thanks for sharing those thoughts. I can see how someone would be like, wow, what a weirdo, or get uncomfortable with extroverted energy when they are very introverted, or like maybe they avoid someone so they don't feel obligated to hang out or give reasons as to why they are not following through with hanging out. I also think it's easy for our brains to go to insecure reasonings when things don't pan out, like blaming ourselves or questioning ourselves or making it about ourselves when it's really not. Putting yourself out there, being open to others, putting themselves out there, it's all just really hard. So thanks for sharing that. Something kind of unrelated, but feels related to both this episode and the last episode, is the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. If any of my interior design peers are listening to this, they may be rolling their eyes right now. But if you have never heard of it, it's a good Google if you're interested in looking it up. But to summarize it, it's like five principles, or maybe there's even more now, but these like five principles that humans need in order to have a complete and whole and healthy life. The needs are like displayed like in a pyramid of importance. So the bottom is the most important. It's the foundation, our most basic needs. Those are food, water, warmth, and rest. Like without those, we cannot function. Then we have security and safety. And without those, we can end up not living and developing in the best ways. Next, like pyramid, is belongingness and love. So like intimate relationships and friends. Then we have self-esteem, feelings of accomplishment. And then at the top of the pyramid is self-actualization, which is like the desire to be your best self, either through like creativity, becoming really educated, working out, and becoming really fit, just like working on yourself to get to your full potential. I feel like this pyramid somehow relates to these episodes in that community, belonging, and intimate relationships were an absolute need to human survival. But even though you have a high probability of living without it in today's world, we still get a lot of benefits from having relationships and feelings of belonging. So relationships are hard enough, but I feel like relationships in middle school are just even harder. This feels like a real pivotal period. Like, kids are moving from children to young adults, and there is a lot of emotions and egos and a little more freedom and responsibility and just like learning how to navigate it all. It's really messy. And I know a lot of adults, like myself included, that haven't figured out all these different aspects of life yet after 30 plus years of lifing. So I try not to have too many expectations for these amateur lifers who are just starting to learn about the complexities of just being a human. It's like such a transformative time for my family. Like, we're all, you know, being affected by this. Like, it's a big adjustment as a mom. Like, I can't just tell him to do and say and wear things anymore. He has his own autonomy and opinions, and I need to learn how to give more space and independence, which can be hard when you have had to dictate someone's every move for the last decade. Like, even clothes now, like, that used to never be a thought in my head, but now I can't just like buy something and he'll wear it. I have to like take a picture and send it and be like, do you like this? So it's just a big adjustment period for everyone. My husband and I noticed this week my son feels older and he like looks older, like literally overnight. His voice sounds older. His mannerisms and attitude are just like different this week. And I thought maybe it was just me who felt that way, but almost everyone we have seen this weekend has commented on his voice and his face. And so I don't think it's just me. I think this might have just been a really like big growing week for him. I asked him to join me on today's episode to offer his perspective on middle school, but he said he was way too nervous and he was afraid he would say something embarrassing, and that if anyone from school listened to this or knew that he like did this, he was too nervous about them, you know, finding out. But in my view of it, I thought it might be helpful and maybe it would be a nice message to other kids in his school that they are not alone, or maybe rethink their actions. But I feel like I might be romanticizing the situation and the outcome. So he won't be on, and I'll just be sharing everything through my lens. And we talked about it before, and he said it was fine. So, we'll just start. So my son has had the same group of friends since he was in third grade. He's always been very outgoing and makes friends easily. But this year, I'm feeling there is a little more friction when it comes to friends. He is in a regional school this year, which means a couple towns mixed together at this point. So it's a bigger pond now, and there's just like a new dynamic. And I'm sure all the kids from all the towns involved are feeling it, not just mine. He's also in the younger of the grades versus like the past couple years he's been in the older of the grades at his old school, which I'm sure can cause some adjustments to be made too. And there feels like there's more mixing between the grades than before. My son is in some classes with eighth graders, even though he's in seventh. And when he was younger, kids just got along and would hang out at recess, and they had assigned seats at lunch, and it just felt so much easier. But now, cliques are starting to form. There's like drama club cliques and like sports cliques. Girls and guys are separating more now, where before, hangouts and birthday parties were more like co-ed in my experience. I even noticed this weekend, we went to a trampoline park, and it felt very separated into groups of girls and boys. And I don't know if I noticed it more because my son went with a friend who was a girl, and his friends are typically very co-ed. But either way, I feel like the tides are changing. It was also kind of funny because me and my husband were the only parents there, like, jumping with the kids. Everyone else there was teenagers, like, even the entire staff. Like, I'm pretty sure my husband and I were the oldest people in the building, it felt like. And I realized in that moment, when it was already too late, that me and my husband might be, like, really cringy parents. Like, our presence might be very embarrassing. No one else had parents there. When I literally didn't see any parents until like that 2-hour time slot was up and they were all getting picked up. So that's a little weird. But we also had our youngest with us, so it felt a little less awkward. But I don't know, things are just getting a little more complicated now. So my son's friends have always been like this same group of people. It's been like a 50-50 mix of girls and boys, and I've had to stop having them all over at one time, which I always, you know, invited them all because I didn't want to leave people out and cause issues. But I'm realizing now I can't watch them all at one time anymore. They would get a little too close for my comfort, and I didn't want any canoodling happening on my watch. I couldn't take my eyes off them. And the emotions and tensions are so much higher when it's like big groups than when it's like one or two kids of the same gender, that it was like actively working the whole time for hours straight, like separating people, checking why someone was crying, constantly counting them to make sure no one snuck off. It was so exhausting. So I don't think I can safely have those group hangouts anymore without like other adults there to help supervise. But everything just feels so much more complex now. So my son is like starting to act how I figured teenagers were going to act. For example, we went to basketball today and we were there a little early, so the gym wasn't open yet, and a group of kids were starting to form outside the doors, like waiting to go in. And my son was wearing a coat in the car, and before he got out, he asked if he could leave the coat in the car. And I looked over and I saw all the other kids weren't wearing coats, so I was like, it's fine. Where like last year, that might have not even been a question or like registered to him, or I could have probably said, no, you have to wear your coat, and I wouldn't have caught an attitude back, but not really this year. So I figured I'd let him do whatever he wants to do, and if it's too cold, maybe it'll register next time to keep the coat on. But I know me saying keep the coat on probably won't register as a reasonable thing or teach him a lesson. It would just be received as like this annoyance. So I've kind of adjusted to letting Mother Nature do her thing more than I typically would have up until this point. But, you know, he'll figure it out. We all do. We all end up wearing our coats again. I have an actual sleeping bag for a coat that I wear now. It all goes full circle, I think. But then when we got out of the car and we walked over to like the group of people to wait to go in, and my son basically like jogs away and stands in the corner furthest away from me, like as if we didn't just go there together and he doesn't know who I am. It's so weird to me. And I was like laughing about it. It was a little funny to me. So I don't know. Obviously, like I was standing pretty far away from him and I did this like really awkward wave, like with a funny face with like my teeth showing. And he laughed and turned away. Like, I didn't embarrass him too much, but I'm like, this is just, like, the craziest thing. I sort of thought after, like, oh, maybe I shouldn't do things like that anymore, like, act weird in public. Because what if it isn't just a silly thing anymore, and this is actually going to cause some backlash? But I also don't want him to see me taking myself and others' perceptions of me too seriously. I really do want to practice what I preach, but I think I was that way in middle school too. I remember one time my mom chaperoned for a field trip, and I was really excited about it because she worked like a 9-to-5. She typically couldn't like chaperone, but she made it work that day, which is really great. She showed up and she was dressed up like in her work clothes, and all the other parents were in casual clothes, and I remember feeling so embarrassed. Like, I was like hiding from her, and I think we even got in a fight about it, and my mom must have been so pissed. Like, here she is taking off work to make this happen for me, and she shows up in her work clothes, and I'm talking shit to her about it, like, not even appreciating the effort and her being there. And it makes no sense. Like, I think back right now, I'm like so embarrassed, but I couldn't see that back then. Like, I couldn't see outside of my world. Like, I was perceiving her as a threat to my peace. Like, I tried so hard to stay off the radar, and then there she was sticking out like a sore thumb. And it's crazy to think about. So I try to remember those weird things. I have so many like examples of things like that. And I try to remember those and how I felt, and so I can sort of try to understand how he's feeling. But even though I try to relate, I'm definitely having a hard time relating to him at this stage in our lives. I just like don't understand his brain anymore. It's so irrational. And I feel like he's almost forgetting things like his manners and stuff, and things that I've like repeatedly have beaten into his brain his whole life. And I kind of wonder if now there's just so much more to think about and account for that things are just slipping. Like, making sure to remember to say please and thank you doesn't make the cut of things in his head anymore, because he's thinking about like other people around him. What are they doing? How are they perceiving him? Like, whatever it might be. And if I call out something he's doing or saying that's like a little rude, he'll recognize it and fix it or say sorry. But in the moment, it's like he forgets. Like, it's not really on his radar, and there are more important things to note. And he can only see the world directly related to him. So I try not to take anything like any weird stuff too personally. I know it's not personal. Like, when I was younger, I didn't dislike my parents or was actively mad at them or trying to hurt them. Actually, the hard truth is I didn't care enough to want to hurt them. They weren't typically like a major thought in my brain. It was like my friends, my day at school, like boys, drama, trends, talking to people online, like having a cool away message. But I would say crazy things or hurt their feelings, mostly because I just didn't understand the gravity of the things I was doing and saying. So I try to really keep that in mind. And I do feel like he's light years ahead of where I was when I was his age. Some of the interactions I witness him in or that he tells me about, I think, oh my gosh, I would have been like in the fetal position crying if those things happened to me. He really is very secure and confident. He doesn't take himself too seriously, which has really come in handy, I think, during this period of life. This week, his school had an event that he got a last-minute ticket for through, like, the school's point system. And I was really impressed with him showing up to an event, like, by himself, not planned, and didn't know who was going, but he just knew it would be fun, and no matter who was there. I was thinking about it like the whole night, just like admiring that, really. I thought it was so profound, because I don't think I would have done that at his age, which makes me hopeful he'll just be way more emotionally intelligent and secure his whole life than I was, or even like currently am. Unfortunately, not everyone thinks he is as amazing and as impressive as I do. I got my first glimpse of meanness when I chaperoned a Halloween dance this year. and I wanted a chaperone because I remember how dances were when I was 12, and looking back, like, it was fucking wild. Like, the thong song would come on, and actual children would start pulling up their thong strings and grinding, like, actual dry humping, like, right out in the open. And there was a room of couches, and people would, like, make out and finger each other in there. It was so bizarre. There were no adults except for, like, in the pizza room, like, handing out pizza. And this was at the town church, for context. Or this would be at, like, the all-boys Catholic school in the next town over. And this was, like, my only experience of middle school dances. So I signed up to chaperone as soon as I saw the notification, out of fear. And I'm happy to report the dance was way less active than back in my day. The songs were appropriate. No single couple danced together, except, like, maybe some friends, like, in groups here and there. But while there, I noticed a lot of things, but right when we walked in, my son said hi to a couple of kids, and they were very obviously embarrassed that my son said hi to them, but my son might have took it as confusion and decided to, like, clarify for them and said, "I'm in your social studies class," and the kid responds, like, "Yeah, I know," with a straight face, and they were all just standing there, not saying anything, like, looking at each other. Oh my God, it was so awkward. So the kids walked away, and I heard them say, like, "You know him?" And the other kid was like, "No," like, so embarrassed that he might be associated as my son's friend. And that was my first inkling that middle school, I think, is going to be a little trickier than before. And since then, it's progressed a little bit, and kids say really intense things, like, directly to my son, like, trigger warning. We got some, like, crazy stuff that I'm gonna say. So, like, one kid in gym was, like, telling him he should kill himself. Others will say, like, no one likes him because he's annoying. People say he can't sit in certain seats at lunch, or in gym class, his classmates all attached their locks for their lockers onto his lock and created this, like, locker tomb around his locker. And there have been separate instances involving specific people that I went to the school for, but it's getting a little bigger than calling the counselor and speaking about a specific incident with a specific kid. Like, my son doesn't even know some of the people's names who are saying, like, wild stuff to him. I just thought kids were different now than when I was growing up. Like, I had in my head that they were more inclusive and accepting and friendlier, but that's proving to really not be the case this year. It's like all the kids are just so shitty in this phase of life. Like, I don't even know if it can be prevented. I'm starting to wonder. I asked my son if he thought he might be mean to people at school, and he was like, no, and horrified at the thought of it, like, of me even asking that. But I don't know, I've seen and heard him interacting with friends a lot this week, and I'm like, hey, do you think this thing you said was nice? Or, like, how about when your friend asks you about something, you ask them about their experience back, so it's not a weird one-sided conversation, like coaching him on being polite and friendly. So I question if it's just a weird time and they are all just kind of starting to really learn how to, like, interact. And there was a part of me that was like, at one point I was like, oh my gosh, like, should we switch schools? Because I felt bad, like, sending him into this what feels like the Coliseum to just be, like, publicly attacked every day, just unequipped. But I really don't think going to another school with more middle schoolers will be any better. And I don't think it's at a crisis point, really. So I feel like there's a lesson in here versus, like, getting him to safety. But sometimes I go back and forth, honestly. I really don't want to make it seem like you can just remove yourself from people and groups. Like, he has to function in this world And there will always be issues with people. Like, there will always be people you don't get along with at work, or friends of friends that you dread seeing at places that you just can't avoid. And it's like uncomfortable situations, unfortunately. So because the situation isn't as dire as like he's not being physically attacked, he has good grades, and overall, he's a really happy kid, I decided to just work on him so he can handle the situations that arise a little better, which I'm hoping will just help him in life even after middle school is over, because I really can't change the kids. The school can't really change the kids. Their parents might, but how would you even be able to make all the kids' parents get their kids to be nicer? I think the only thing I can really do is just work with my son so he can handle everything thrown at him. And this is kind of the approach I've had to take like his whole life. He has some family members that would make weird comments to him as a kid, and I can't just cut off family members. So I've had to always sort of like work with him, like just turn inward for this stuff, because in my experience, you really can't change anything else around you. And the things they are saying might not even have anything to do with you but themselves. So it's super confusing. You know, it all feels like middle school, but now it's people that we don't even know, that like don't even know him. And so I don't even know who to go to or like who they are. And I'll say I have talked to the guidance and his teachers, and he does a little lunch group thing once a week. And there have been a couple specific incidents with specific people that have been addressed and have gotten better. So it's not like nothing has been done or like the school's been like totally absent, but it's like, how many times am I going to call the school and say, so-and-so did this, so-and-so did that, this girl, we don't know her name, whispered this in passing? Like, it's just getting to be so much and so frequent. It's not like when they were little, and like now tattling is also just like putting a target on his back, so it's so tricky. And I really do feel for the kids who are, you know, being mean too. Like, they are learning to navigate the world, and it really is a dog-eat-dog world out there. And if you are not doing the bullying, you will be bullied, you know? If you stand up for someone, you are putting yourself right in the line of fire. It's self-preservation out there. Then you cling to your group to stay safe. And if that starts to stray, there's a fight. Someone new comes in and changes the dynamic. Jealousy starts kicking in. You know, you lose your herd protection. And that's when I think shit starts getting real and emotional, and the spiral starts. Like, I really feel like it comes down to keeping yourself safe from the bullying, like, by any means, even if that means, you know, other people. I remember saying the meanest shit when I was younger, or thinking really mean stuff, and I cringe. Oh my God, I cringe thinking about some things I thought and said, honestly. I think it's totally normal to be shitty at that age, but that obviously doesn't make it less hard to deal with when you're on the receiving end of it. It's such a weird time. Like, friends, bodies, emotions, school, like, everything is shifting. It's so transformative. And there's just growing pains, like physically and mentally. My tactic as a middle schooler was to be so shy and like so uninvolved, I could just slip under the radar. And for the most part, I didn't really experience bullying too bad. I mean, obviously there was always weird things, but I wouldn't recommend taking this approach because it really doesn't teach resilience. And I feel like I missed out on a lot of stuff because I was just too scared to put myself out there. Like, in those, like, wild dances I just described, I would just stand against the wall in a state of shock and just, like, watch everything around me unfold. I remember wishing I could participate by, like, even just dancing or just, like, talking to another person I don't talk to that much. And I didn't just have to hear about my friends dancing with whatever boy or something fun they did and like live through them in a way. I wish I could go back and move through the world as myself without kind of hiding, but it's hard. It's scary. And I thought this situation was unique to my kid, but looking at the mom Facebook groups and even just talking with the moms I'm friendly with, like that my son's friends with, they have sons in my kid's class, and I'm starting to think it's not just him. And then all the mom guilt will set in sometimes. Like, I start thinking of, like, what I could have done to prevent this. Like, how could I have, you know, steered this in a different direction? And then I'm like, oh, I kind of set him up to be a target because I always allow him to really be himself, even if that's a little quirky. Like, go ahead and wear that rainbow unicorn onesie to school. I don't care. You know, I'm also out here looking like I just crawled out of the woods next to my house. We just, like, don't have shame in this family for some reason. And then I've always taught him to just ignore shitty behavior towards him. I'll say, just ignore it. Just leave them alone. Just let it go because it's not you. It's them, which I do truly believe. Like, kids act in ways to bring others down as, like, self-preservation or to make themselves feel better about something they are insecure about, or so they can be seen as a person not to mess with. Like, I mean, adults do it too, and, like, myself included. I can literally think of a specific instance right now where I said a mean thing about someone before, which may or may not have been true, but it was just out of, like, insecurity about something I had, and I grew up around that, and I'm actively working to fix that and change that about myself in my adult years, which makes me see it so much more in other people now, too. I didn't realize it was so common, and that's what was going on until I, like, really confronted the behaviors and learned about the behaviors and questioned everything I was feeling, which is shitty. I wish it wasn't that way. I wish I wasn't that way. But, I mean, adults are this way, and then it's just so much more heightened as a teen. So I started Googling bullying in middle school because it feels different to me this time than, like, in elementary. And when I talk to people who have kids in high school and college, they say it gets better and that middle school is the hardest. So I was looking for answers on why and if what I'm feeling is common. And it seems like it is. I looked up I did so many Google searches. I'm talking NPR, all these foundations, city data sites, stopbullying.gov. The one I'm looking at right now is by a bullying software company called Brim. And all of these things that I read state that bullying peaks in middle school. And it seems to be the mixing of groups is a major factor in bullying. And studies show that keeping the same classes and counselors showed decreased bullying. So it could be that kids just need time to adjust. But I guess cyberbullying gets greater in high school, which I think makes sense. I don't think too many of my son's friends have social media right now. And another common message in all these sites I looked at is bullying increases the more that adult supervision decreases. So it's really tricky. Fighting has never been an option. I've always said, you know, never go that route when you're in a tricky situation. And sometimes I get flack from my family, like in real life. I feel like it's always the first thing mentioned when I talk about, like, a tricky situation. And I know some people feel really strongly about, you know, violence as a means to protect yourself and make other people leave you alone. And the tactic of establishing dominance, like, it could work, and it might work, but outside of middle school, if you fight anyone in real life at a certain age, you're arrested and you go to jail. Like, it's not a real solution in my brain, because going to jail for physically fighting as an adult has financial and systemic consequences bigger than whatever issue is going on causing the fight. So it feels like to me I'm telling my son to replace an issue with an even bigger issue. So we never went that route. And then there was this point where I was telling my son to try a reasoning approach, but that hasn't always gone well either, because there's nothing about these situations and the way these kids are feeling that is reasonable. Like, no one is looking for a resolve. They are looking for a win, like at the expense of others. Like, none of it makes any sense to anyone outside of middle school world. You could attempt to express how you feel, but the person you're talking to has to have the capability and like the emotional maturity for it to be productive and for your efforts and your feelings to not just be turned against you and thrown back at you. I just don't think middle school is this like age of reason. But there are two instances that I think worked well for my son, and he handled them really great, I think. I mean, they worked out well, but they didn't like work out very well. Like, the situation still sucks. But I think using these tactics may make peers, you know, a little bit more quieter about their mean remarks, or may make them regret saying mean things and, you know, just like acknowledging it. So the first this instance that I thought he handled like really successful was he came home and he said that he was being made fun of for wearing pajamas for Spirit Week. It was like pajama day. And these two kids who my son recognizes, but he doesn't really like know them, said, "Oh my God, look at him. He looks so bad." Or like, "What a bad look," or something like that. And my son thinks it's from the pajamas. He doesn't really understand it. So he told me that when he heard them, he looked back at them and made this face at them. I'm making the face. I forget, you can't see it, but it's like a confused or like a "what are you doing" kind of face. And when he did that, the two kids, I guess, looked like they saw a ghost. And my son thought it was so funny. He like got off the bus and was excited to tell me how funny this thing was. And as I'm sitting there listening, like horrified someone was mean to him, like that's the part I was focusing on. But he like thought it was so funny and was laughing about it. He like wasn't upset. So I think, you know, hopefully those kids might avoid him, or they might at least like know that he is aware they are being shitty and that they might see him a little differently. Like, he's not afraid to look at them right in the face, and they clearly are afraid to look at someone in the face. So it's like, hopefully they just leave him alone from now on, you know? And my sister-in-law brought up a good point of view. Like, how embarrassed would you be if you were talking shit and then another person just stared at you like right back dead in the eye, instead of like cowering or pretending they didn't hear you? Like, something so simple like that, like staring at them or like making a weird face, might be able to cause a person to avoid you out of embarrassment or be too scared to say anything else because of how you might react. The second thing my son does that I think helps is he kind of makes a joke, which works good for him, but would have never worked for me. He is so much quicker and he's a little witty, honestly, and he can come up with funny jokes and he laughs and makes light of it. And I think that doesn't solve the issue, but when he's telling me about situations, it definitely seems like the situation is made a little less awkward or de-escalated by that. Like, it would have never worked for me as a kid. When I feel stressed out, I shut down and can't function. So if you have an anxious kid, you know, avoidance might just be the only, like, option. But I have a theory or a tactic that I wish my son would test out for me. I might be romanticizing this too. I tend to do that. But unfortunately, he is not down with my tactic, because he said everyone would think he's a freak and it would just make him become a bigger target. But since like ignoring and violence isn't really like working out as well as we hoped, I thought maybe try like embarrassing them back, but by almost like being nice. I know it's wild, hear me out. So a girl took my son's seat at lunch while he was up getting his food and like pushed his stuff off the table and said something snarky to him when he came back to like sit down. And My son said he just grabbed his things and walked away and tried to find a new seat. Like, obviously, punching this girl in the face or throwing items is, like, throwing her stuff is not an option. But I was thinking, like, how funny would it have been if he, like, sat right next to her and yelled, "Hey, guys, this is my best friend, Sally, here. She's my number one BFF." Or, like, yelled, "No, I won't sit with you. Stop begging me to have lunch with you," like, wicked loud so everyone could hear. She would have been fucking mortified. And I bet would avoid him forever at all costs going forward. There was another instance where there was like a boy talking shit about my son's clothes. And I was like, you should have just said super loud, like, "No, you can't borrow my outfit. I need it this weekend." And just like embarrass the fuck out of him. Like, if they want to make my son a target, they're going to need to turn into a target too. Like, they need to take that risk when they want to act mean to him. You know, there are probably people who work with children horrified by the way my mind is working right now. And take comfort in knowing he said he would absolutely not do this because he is also too embarrassed. But I wish, like, I kind of did this looking back on some situations I have been in. Like, I wish I flipped the narrative instead of, like, freezing and then crying in my room when I got home. But it's a tough time. So I've really been focusing on building my son's relationships. Whenever I have him for the weekend, I'm trying to include friends and family and give him that sense of community that humans need and that he can rely on and, like, know he has that in tough moments. I think him having a feeling of belonging and acceptance is important, so I'm just trying to, like, build that for him more. I've also been planning just mom and son hangouts. So we have, like, a smash room on the roster and a paint night and a paint splatter event because I really want him to feel connected and, like, seen by not just me, but, like, someone. And I think experiences and time together can do that. Like, he sits alone at lunch most days, and then he comes home to me, and I'm working, not really giving him, like, too much attention. And, you know, then after work, we're doing whatever we gotta do. We all got, like, activities. I'm cleaning, I'm making food, whatever. But I do go in his room for about 10 to 15 minutes every night before bed. And, you know, those 10 to 15 minutes might be the only time in a day he has someone, like, really connecting with him. So I make sure to not skip our daily recaps. And I'm really trying to kind of act more like a friend to him, like, get on his level, listen to him without giving advice or yelling, because even though he does have friends, they are, like, middle school level friendships, like, not super deep. Like, they don't really talk about their struggles and fears. If you read their texts, it's just, like, quotes and memes, which is fine and preferred for his age, but I want him to feel like he matters, you know? And my husband's been making, like, efforts to do it, too. He's been working out with him in our basement, so that's been good, you know, that he gets, like, physical exercise and some, like, bonding time. But I feel like our situation is kind of best-case scenario for bullying, which sounds, like, so weird to say. Like, obviously, this sucks. We're all going through it right now, but he does handle it pretty well. He is pretty secure, and I find myself thinking, like, oh my gosh, what if he wasn't? Like, I actually looked up confidence camps and stuff when this all started, like, just out of fear his confidence might waver a bit because of all this, but he's still doing pretty good. I got a lot of great suggestions when I posted asking for that, so if you're one of the people who reached out, thank you very much. My niece goes to this really awesome place in East Bridgewater, and they have, like, girls' confidence events. I think it's every Sunday, and it sounds so awesome. Like, I wish I could do it. They do all kinds of activities. And I felt like I found a lot more options for girls when I looked online than for boys, which is great because girls get told in so many, like, subtle ways they are less than in the society. So I love the idea of all these events and, like, ways to try to offset all those, like, subliminal messages. But I thought sports was going to be really good for my son and help avoid all these issues we're experiencing right now. My son plays baseball and has a couple times a year, like they have a couple seasons a year, and he's been playing them since third grade. But I feel like bullying can be really bad in that realm of our world too. Like, even from the parents and the coaches, we have coaches screaming at their kids and coaches fighting with other coaches. Like, some have been suspended. I mean, they're all volunteer dads who do not get paid to do this. So I appreciate them and I'm grateful these guys volunteer their time. But sometimes I'll hear them make like not great references, like this isn't softball, and they make like cry like a girl comments. And I really questioned at a couple times, like taking my son out of baseball, because the environment to me felt more of a threat than a benefit. Like one time kids were warming up and doing some like drills while the coaches set up the field for the game, and the kids were making gay jokes and referencing things that I know is just being repeated from their parents. Like the comments were way too specific for a child to think up on their own. And part of me wanted to yell at the kids, like, statistically, one or two of you guys are gay. So be nice to your teammates. Like, stop making these jokes. And actually, another mom did ask the coach to talk to the boys about it. And he did, and it was fine. But I don't know. I'm feeling a little let down by sports. I might have had an unrealistic expectation. Again, my like romanticizing taking over. And this isn't a slight to sports. Like, I still sign my kids up and want them involved and moving around outside and interacting with kids and getting to know people in town. Like, I do think it's good for them. But it's just made like extra work for me to make sure my kids aren't picking up what others are doing or thinking the crazy stuff being said is okay or accurate. It's always a lesson in the car on the ride home, and it definitely makes me nervous. Like, I hope I'm not steering them down a weird path by involving them with people who might not be good for them. But I don't know, it's where we live. Like, it's our, you know, it's what our options are. And I mean, that's life, I guess. But my biggest struggle right now, what I'm noticing with myself, is I'm like criticizing my teen a lot, like just sitting there coaching his interactions because they're not super great. Like, he doesn't know when to let jokes go or like asks awkward things, or I'll hear a friend ask what he's doing that weekend and he won't ask back. And I'm like, can you please seem interested in your friend's life? Like, ask how their day was too. One time my friend texted him like, happy birthday, or happy April Fools or something, and he replied with K, like a single letter, like not thanks or you too. It's like painful to watch him interact with others sometimes, but they're all like that, and I can't criticize him into getting better at those things. It'll come with time. I don't want to be this like weird dark cloud hovering over him. So I've tried to just give him some space, but oh my god, I'm like screaming internally sometimes. My son doesn't have social media yet. He hasn't even expressed wanting it, although he does reference TikTok trends a lot. I think he sees them on YouTube. He loves watching the Mr. Beast YouTube, so, and he shows videos and stuff, so my son isn't like immune from it. But social media is terrifying. I just went to a social media presentation at the middle school, and they talked about the Snapchat feature that shows where, you know, everyone is, shows where your avatar is, like, on a map. In this presentation, it was shown as, like, why this is dangerous. But when talking to some moms of high schoolers, this specific feature can be another way kids will get upset and feel left out if they see their friends hanging out together and they didn't get invited and stuff. So, like, navigating the world is hard, but when you add in social media, it's just like another layer of complexity. But I'll cross that bridge when I get there. I think back to when I was a teen, and I would like walk all over the place. Like, I'd walk so far, and my parents would just like let my siblings and I go out. They would have zero idea where we were. Like, we would just go out with our friends and, you know, went wherever the hell we wanted. And my parents couldn't even call us or know where to go in an emergency. Like, thinking about this is so wild to me. Like, some of the kids in my neighborhood are being raised like that. I see the kids around. They come over sometimes. And I don't know their parents, but I figure they must live around here. And they don't ask or know who I am, I don't think. And I don't know. Sometimes I do think that way of, like, existing is nice. But then I think back to what my friends and I would do when we were in 7th and 8th grade. And there's just absolutely no way I am letting my kid have that much freedom. Like, there will be no fingering girls or smoking weed in the woods if I can help it right now. He seems so little, just too little for all that. But I don't know, when I was that age, that was not that uncommon, like, in my world at least. I remember this, like, really weird instance where I became, like, blood brothers with a neighbor. I can't even remember what that neighbor's name is now, but we legit, like, cut our hands and swapped blood, like, without knowing hardly anything about each other. Like, the most bizarre things we would do, like, just left to our own devices. So there's absolutely no way I'm giving my kid that much freedom. I have started letting him stay home for an hour or so, and he, like, makes himself a bath and sits in the tub and watches his videos and eats candy. Like, that's his idea of living the dream. I probably would have been like that too if electronics were what they are now, back when I was younger. But anyway, I'm rambling now. Let me know your experience with middle school. Is my experience an anomaly? Please tell me this gets better. Tell me what your middle school experience was like. Did you experience bullying? I'm not sure what my next topic is going to be. I'm going to post a poll on my Facebook again, I think, and see what people want to listen to and what people are going through and hear some experiences. I'm actively working on figuring out how to incorporate guests, and I want to get better at getting more feedback from listeners to incorporate in the episodes, because I'm not an expert by any means, if you haven't been able to tell that, and I never know if what I'm doing is the best way to do things. I'm always just kind of like winging it and see what sticks. So I appreciate all the advice, all the words of encouragement you can offer. And if you see my son Cohen around, tell him he's the man, because he really is. He's a smart human. He wants to be good. He tries to be good. And I hate that people are mean to him. So give him some extra love if you see him this week. And give your kids extra love if they're in middle school. Ugh, it's so tough out there. Thanks again for listening. I hope you are getting as much out of this podcast as I am creating it. It's so fun, and I love having somewhere to keep my thoughts and sharing my thoughts with others. I hope you have a great week. Until next time.